chapter 13. I'll try not to be too long this evening. Have a lot of people ill tonight, so we want to remember them in prayer, and we'll mention that later. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's begin reading in verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You already for the songs we've been able to sing. And Lord, that is our greatest desire this evening, Lord, to be drawn closer to Thee. Lord, not only to know of Your love and Your grace and Your mercy and, Lord, all the wonderful attributes that You possess, but Lord, that we might also be more and more conformed into Your image. That, Lord, we might know more of Christ being formed in us. That, Father, we might know not only what it is to win Christ, to know Christ, but, Lord, to fellowship in Your sufferings and to be partakers of the resurrection of Christ. And, Father, there's just so much that we have yet to learn of Your Son. And we pray, therefore, that You would hear our pleas this evening and that You would reveal unto us more about Your Son. And, Lord, I pray that as we receive more of You and Yourself and Your truths, that, Father, our entire lives would be transformed. Father, our characters would be molded. Father, our desires and our longings would be radically changed. Father, that we'd learn more about setting our affections on things above. And most of all, I pray that, Father, as we earnestly covet the best gifts, I pray that You'd help us to learn more of the essential necessity of, Lord, exercising those gifts, Lord, in this charity. We pray, God, that You'd continue to guide and bless our church. Be with those that are out this evening that are ill. We pray that You'd watch over them. Lord, let them know that our hearts and our prayers go out for them at this moment. We pray, Father God, that You would now just meet with us in a special way this evening. God, that we might receive the truth into our hearts and our souls. For it's in Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. And amen. Dearly beloved, let it be known that in all our desires and efforts to earnestly covet the best gifts and to adorn them with this queen of all graces, which is called charity, that all shall be vain without Christ. I say that because we can't just read 1 Corinthians 13 and say, okay, I'm going to put on charity. We can't just read all these attributes of charity, both the positive ones and also the ones that defend us against those bad and evil spirits. We can't simply say, okay, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to adorn more of this charity. None of this can be done without Christ. For it is only as we abide in Christ and dwell under the divine influence of His own great love that we shall ever be fruitful in our efforts to adorn charity. You see, this charity of which Paul speaks is not something that we can produce of ourselves, but is something which arises or it draws its power and vitality from us abiding in Christ. It's all about Christ. John 15, 4 and 5 says, "Abide in Me," our Lord said, "and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me ye can do nothing." So we have to be reminded this evening that though we're looking at the different attributes of charity and how it works in our hearts and our lives and profits those best gifts, let us never forget that it's only as we abide in Christ that we'll learn more about this charity, because this charity has all to do with Christ. This is the more excellent way of which the Apostle Paul speaks, and it cannot be achieved by any works or merits of our own.
We can't just say, well, I'm going to have charity. As we've already seen, some of these attributes are impossible to the natural nature of man. We're not prone to have these attributes. We can't achieve these traits or these attributes by any works or merits of our own, but by our abiding in Christ and He in us, for this Queen of all graces, this more excellent way, draws all life and vitality from Him who is altogether lovely. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And I think that's essential for us to understand. We know nothing of this charity of which he speaketh outside of Christ. And it's only as we abide in Christ and he abides in us, and it's only as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we'll come to know something of this power of charity, of these virtues of charity, because they all flow from Christ. And the closer I'm in Christ, the more I'm abiding in Christ, the more that charity, that love of Christ, is going to influence my life, and it's going to be able to show the fruits of this charity in my life. It's all through Christ. And we have to remember that. And with that said, verse 5 in the latter part, just real quickly tonight, the very last part of verse 5, charity thinketh no evil. Just like charity is not easily provoked to anger or malice, we've seen that right before this one. So too, if true charity is the motivating factor of our best gifts, if true charity is in our hearts and our lives working effectively, efficaciously, wonderful word, then it will think no evil. Now, stay with me this evening, because this is vital for our, again, for our Christian service. I do wish that we would all strive to know more of this charity and all these things we're discussing in our service, because they are greatly lacking in the lives of most believers. But it says that it thinks no evil. And again, we must think about this in comparison to the more excellent or the best gifts. We're talking about service motivated by charity. This is not referring to sinless thoughts. It's not saying, well, if you're full of charity, you'll never have sinful thoughts. It's not talking about that. For there is no man that sinneth not, the Bible says, nor is there a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 36, and Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. So he can't be talking about think no evil means that we'll never have evil or sinful thoughts. We all wrestle with those. We wrestle with them more than we'd like to humbly admit. But sinful thoughts is something that we're constantly struggling in, casting down those imaginations that rise up in our hearts against the things of God and so forth. Mortify the deeds of the body. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. So we're always struggling with that. So he can't be meaning, if we're full of charity, that we'll never have sinful thoughts. But in charity, thinking no evil refers to how the believer responds, reacts, and conducts himself when he has suffered evil or wrong at the hands of others. Say with me. Whether it be by words or actions. Let me say that again. But in charity, thinking no evil, it's referring to how the believer responds, how he reacts, how he conducts himself when he has suffered evil or wrong at the hands of others, whether it be done by words or by actions. You see how what I meant before when I said we cannot do this of our own? This is not prone to our human nature. When we suffer at the hands of either, when we suffer evil or wrongdoing at the hands of others, our nature is prone to be vindictive, to think wrong things, to think evil things against them, bad things against them, resentment, grudging. Well, but Paul says here, charity thinketh no such things. Each one of these descriptions of charity's characteristics bears a resemblance or a likeness to that of Christ. Therefore, the more we abide in Him, the more we shall bear those fruits which resemble His likeness. And this resembles a great likeness of Christ. Christ was not one to hold a grudge, was He? He was not resentful towards people. And they treated Him very, very crudely, evil, wickedly. God doesn't hold a grudge. And God's not resentful. So it is an attribute of our God. Thinketh no evil. It says thinketh. It didn't say doeth no evil. Now we need to pay attention to that. He said think. He's talking about that which is inside the mind that nobody else can see. We have a wonderful way of hiding our thoughts. People ask us, well, what do you think about that brother? Well, he's all right. In our minds, we're going, I can't stand the guy. He's talking about how we respond from the inward. And you see, that's only logical, scripturally seen, because God looketh upon the heart. God doesn't matter what we say with our lips if our hearts are not bearing witness to what we say. And so he said, it thinketh no evil. It doesn't even want to have resentful, grudging thoughts towards those whom we have suffered evil from. There's no way man could do that. Impossible with man. That's impossible with man, but possible with God. This virtue doesn't come natural to man who is selfish, prideful, and vindictive in nature. Yet the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, thinketh no evil. I'm not going to say that those things don't arise in our minds, because we're all weak and frail and human and we fall into temptations. But if charity is in our hearts, charity will strive to cast that out. I refuse to be resentful and judgmental, or resentful and grudging towards somebody by whom I've suffered evil from. Now, it's not just anybody, but somebody who's done me wrong, words or actions. Well, but this is vitally important, because I believe this is an area of Christianity which God's church has suffered under tremendously. And that's why relationships amongst believers have suffered tremendously. Because we are thinking evil. We're not thinking no evil, we're thinking evil. Especially if we suffer wrongly or sinfully or evil from somebody else. Sometimes we kind of think that I'm justified in being resentful or holding a grudge. Well, have you forgiven that sister? Sure I have. But our conversations prove that there's still resentment in our minds, in our hearts. Charity casts that out. Charity fights against that. You see, and every true believer wants to have truth in the inward parts. He doesn't want to be a hypocrite. And even though we talk about the church having a lot of hypocrites, we fear the greatest of all hypocrites, and that be ourselves. And so a true child of God does not want to be a hypocrite, even in his thoughts. So when somebody asks him a question, he wants to be truthful. I want to be able to say, I have forgiven, and by God's grace, to the best of my ability, forgotten. And I'm not holding any grudge, and I'm not being resentful, even though the evil was done to me. You see, that's not natural for man. Because naturally we're sinful, we're prideful, and we're very vindictive as human beings. That's why a lot of relationships in the churches suffer. And even though the believers walk by one another and talk by one another, and with their mouths and their lips, they show some kind of a concern and love and compassion for one another, in their minds and their hearts, they're not being truthful with themselves or others. Beloved, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If we're being hypocrites in one area, it's going to affect other areas of our lives. It's going to be like that snowball effect, that domino effect. And we can't afford to have that. We've got to strive to live truthful, even in our minds, before God and man. Charity does that. The more we abide in Christ, the more we have more of Him, the more we're aware of that new man which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him, the more we're thinking about Christ, the more we're dwelling on Christ, the easier it is to say, I hold no grudge towards any man. And I'm not resentful towards any man. My heart and my mind beareth witness to that. Now, this doesn't mean also that the believers are indifferent or insensitive to all such wrong or evil doing. We're still human. When somebody does us wrong or evil doings, sometimes our nature is prone to rise up to abide in Christ, and under His influence, charity will cast that out. That doesn't mean we're indifferent or insensitive. But because charity is the motivating source and factor of all that we do and say, we are made able by its virtue to bear long and even take no attention. Listen to this. Take no attention to the evil done unto us. Take no attention to the evil done unto us. In other words, we just simply disregard the evil. It's done away with because charity has cast it out. Oh, beloved, I'm not saying this is an easy task. And I'm not saying that we're always going to be successful in this. But charity never faileth. Not rendering evil for evil. 1 Peter 3:9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. But contrariwise, blessing. The opposite of evil for evil, railing for blessing. Why? Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. And charity enables us to do that. Beloved, there's so much to learn about the Christian life. We haven't even began to scratch the surface of the life of God in the soul of man. It's amazing. Like all the attributes of God, and there's some that are communal attributes, in other words, they're attributes which we can imitate and follow, and there's others we can't. For example, God's sovereignty. That is not communicated to us because we can never be sovereign. But His love and His mercy and those kind of attributes, God can communicate them to us. And because these attributes are infinite and eternal, they have no depth, no width, no height. Beloved, we can learn more and more about them in our Christian life. And beloved, this is an area we need to learn more about. This kind of charity that thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. Takes no account of evil done to it. No good dictionary explanation. Takes no account of evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It's as though it never happened. Again, we have in this Queen of all graces a characteristic of God's glorious attribute of love. Listen to what Micah 7:8 says. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not, he does not keep or hold. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. That's an attribute of God. He does not hold or keep, retaineth his anger forever. Why? Because he delighteth in mercy. That's the effects of charity in our hearts. When evil's been done against us, and we rise up against us, charity conquers that, or charity comes against that, opposes that, because we love more. And because charity is more evident in our life, it succumbs that. It subdues that. That anger. Psalm 78:38 says this, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Listen to this. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. And many a time turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. It's an attribute of God. To not be resentful. To not hold grudges. Because he delighteth in mercy. And if charity is controlling and motivating all that we do and say, then we're going to respond the same way. Maybe not to the same measure as God. Because we're not God. But we're going to respond the same way. Charity is going to subdue that anger, that grudging, that resentful feeling. And so that's not right. I can't abide with these spirits, these thinking, these thoughts, these feelings. I can't abide with that. Charity overwhelms those things. And again, I go back to what I said in the beginning, and I want to emphasize this. This is impossible if we don't abide in Christ. We can't just think positive about this and say, okay, that's what I'm going to do, because our nature is too corrupt, too strong, even after salvation. We have to keep abiding in Christ, because people are going to do some terrible, evil things against us, and we're going to want to hold resentment, or at least have a grudge against them. Well, I've forgiven them, but still, there's something that's just not... will never be right between me and him. Will never be right between me and her. Well, that's not the voice of charity. Charity doesn't speak that kind of language. Charity thinks no evil. So you see, it's impossible with man, but it's possible with God. Because isn't that how God deals with His children? Does not He take our iniquities and our sins and cast them as far as from the east and the west? Does He not say, I'll remember your iniquities no more? And we're talking about a God who is infinite, sovereign, eternal, knows all things. Amen? All-wise God. How can God forget something? Think about that for a while. Regardless of what theologians say. The Bible says He forgets. Well, how can God forget and still be God? When we get to heaven, we can ask Him. But that's what God does with us. Or would you like to think of all the times we've sinned against God that God did not hold a grudge? After we've sinned the same sin 100 times, 50 times, and we keep going back to God, if God held grudges, if God was resentful, after the second time, God would say, don't even come before my presence anymore. I'm tired of this. God doesn't act that way with us. And so therefore, charity thinketh no evil. It doesn't hold a grudge. It doesn't hold its anger, because it delights in mercy. I'll bring this to a close. Proverbs 19:11 said, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. I've always liked that verse. Proverbs 19:11. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Let me finish reading that verse. And it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Wonderful. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. He doesn't hold it, doesn't keep it. He kind of funnels it someplace else, and that's right into charity. And it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Though we could never equal God in such an attribute, because we're not God, we must ever be striving to imitate this blessed virtue. We can't equal, but we must strive to imitate. Holding a grudge or being resentful for an offense or evil committed against us is not abiding in charity. Because charity thinketh no evil. Like that verse I read in Proverbs chapter 19, I'm sure some of you have done that in your Christian life before, probably often, but have you ever, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, have you ever took the whole month and just read one chapter? Do that solidly, continually for 6 months. Not just 1 month and do something else. 6 months, read Proverbs 1 to 31. 6 months long. And after 6 months, let's sit down and talk and tell me what's happened. Something about the book of Proverbs that really does give a man discretion. There's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. Amen? A lot of wisdom in Proverbs. But beloved, this is what we need to do. And again, I want to just remind you in closing, we cannot work this up ourselves. I'm not trying to encourage you to work something up in the flesh. We can't work this kind of charity up. This charity can only be successful as we abide in Christ. And we're influenced by His love and His mercy. Because charity draws all its power, all its vitality, all its strength from Christ. And as we abide in Christ, then we can think no evil of anybody. Hold no grudges. Be not resentful. And if we do that, dearly beloved, then our services are going to be more acceptable before God, and they're going to be more productive before man. Amen? Because you can say what you want to, but a man that is trying to live a holy, meek, and humble life before others has a greater influence on people than that man who is boisterous, obnoxious, loud, grudging. Love is still the sharper end of the two-edged sword. Amen? It still is. That's why charity never faileth. May God grant us mercy and grace to adorn this charity even more as we abide in Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again, Lord, for Thy most blessed Word. And Lord, I know these are simple, short studies, but Father, I pray they wouldn't end here. But Father, I pray we would take these things with us tonight, and we would, before we lay down our heads, we would take these things before Thee in prayer and ask Thee, God, that we might know more of this charity which draws all its life and vitality from Christ. We pray, O God, that You would help us, Lord God, to be the servants we need to be. Father, You've equipped us with all that we need to be those faithful and prosperous servants. Lord, You delight in the prosperity of Thy servants. That's what Your Word says. And Father, it's Your desire, Your longing, Father, that, Lord, we be prosperous. Father, help us that we might ever learn from Thy book, where there's so much yet we have to learn about the life of God and the soul of man, about true Christianity. Lord, help us to be humble and ever hungry and desireful, Father, to know Thy truths in a more intimate way, Father. Lord, we pray that You'd bless now as we gather together in prayer. Be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.